Mountain West Connection Podcast.
And we're back. That's Chris over there doing our theme song. I am Jeremy, and this is the MWCConnection.com podcast. As always, discussing what else Mountain West stuff and nonsense, of course, like fast food restaurants and stuff in James, right?
Of course, yeah. Ew.
We'll just discuss it all. This is our Hawaii show, so it's obviously everything about the newly named Rainbow Warriors.
And see, that's funny because it's not newly named. It's really oldly named, but they got rid of the rainbow part for years, or at least the football team did. And then they decided that they wanted unity within the whole athletic department, so they went back to being the Rainbow Warriors, which I am a huge fan of, by the way.
So the newly renamed football Rainbow Warriors.
Yes.
There you go. And there's also a million uniform combinations, so Under Armour surprises this year.
please. So, yeah, and it better have a rainbow on it.
At least somewhere. Helmet, they could do. It doesn't have to be all out and go crazy, but it could be a helmet or just on the shoulder pads or down the side of their pants, like the thin stripes. So, and just not a rainbow field. That's all we're asking for in the next.
Yeah. Just anything but the rainbow field.
Do something in the end zone or like Wyoming did. They have their new field. Do like the maybe along
which
the,
is awesome, by the way. Yep. You guys should all go look at those pictures that Jeremy's posted. That came from Cowboy Altitude, right?
No, I go from the Wyoming. They sent them out, the Wyoming football program, whatever. Their athletic department released the photos, so it's like, hey, take a look and
check
see
it out.
Yeah, basically, got the mountain along the sideline. They're a nice reminding people you're at 7,220 feet above sea level, so don't forget the oxygen tank equipment guy. So yeah, it's pretty cool. They could do something like that, like do something in the end zone, do something along the sideline or midfield. But we'll see. All right, so let's actually get to the team. They are, well, probably going to be one of the worst teams in Mountain West again. Sorry, guys. We'll just say that first.
No, they will be the worst.
They were 3-9 last year, 1-7 in the Mountain West, tied for last place, or tied for ninth place, I guess, not whatever, at the bottom. The main thing, yeah, that's a good right there. That's what we want to do on this thing. Okay, here's a positive, well, not positive, but kind of here's a background why. They got Norm Chow, second year coach ever as a head coach. He gets his own spring. He's finally got a full year to get things going, and hopefully his offense might be somewhat decent because it hasn't been good in a long and he hasn't been a good offensive coach since he's with the Tennessee Titans in the NFL.
Yeah, and I mean, I think Bill Seep best this way when he was talking about Washington State. But it applies directly to Hawaii, too. The first year of a coaching head coach gig is never a good means to measure how good the team can possibly do. And so that's always going to be year zero because it looks like they can take a step back. So really, the first true year of Norton Chow's coaching gig starts with this year.
True, yeah, because here's what kind of what Bill said. I think he spoke to the coach or something. Basically, here's what it says here from his preview. He hasn't had a good offense since 2004. That's after he returned from 3 years with the Tennessee Titans. When he took over UCLA, he ranked 109th in the F-plus rankings. 2007, went 114th, 88th, and 90th. And then he went to Utah, and he was 62nd in the nation, and then 95th for Hawaii last year. However, the thing about UCLA, Rick Neuheisel, who was the head coach at the time, is kind of schizophrenic in what he wants to do on offense. He's like, that pistol looks really cool. Let's do the pistol. I don't care who's at quarterback or running back. Let's do the pistol. And that's not what Norm Chow is known for. Norm Chow is known for passing quarterbacks, spreading the ball around, putting wide receivers and running backs and tight ends in motion to create mismatches. He's the only guy who's ever made Vince Young a good passing quarterback in the NFL.
And let's not forget that Rick Neuheisel, for all intents and purposes, is a horrible coach. So.
And they tried to force, like, keep him. Or it was whatever the scenario when he left Utah or to go to Utah. Norm Chow, that's how Utah got him, because UCLA still owed him like they wanted him to be like the wide receivers coach, just be on their team but don't do anything really. He wasn't gonna be the O coordinator. I think he's gonna be a quarterback coach or maybe a wide receivers coach. But yet they let him go, so UCLA still paid him about $1 million. Utah got him for dirt cheap. Well, relatively speaking, for the coordinator position at the newly Pac-12 school. But still, they paid him only $300,000 at Utah, but he's getting $1 million from UCLA. But he was just forced out. And part of it now at Hawaii. He actually has a new offensive coordinator. He had Tommy Lee, who hadn't been a coordinator in a long time. He was, I don't even know how he got the job. I know he was a coach at Utah at one point, and then he coached, like, I think Montana and some smaller schools. I guess I compared him to who did the Raiders hire, that bed and breakfast guy to be a coach, Art Shell. He was head coach. Who did he bring in? Remember that?
Lane Kiffin? No.
No, not Lane Kiffin. But he brought in somebody who hasn't coached the NFL for like a decade.
And I forgot what his name was.
Because Art Shell's head coach. I don't remember, but that's what it was. But here's Tommy Lee really quick. Before he came to Hawaii, here's the Utah offensive coordinator. He's at University of Utah from 95 to 2000. 01 to 2007 at Montana Western, head coach. From 07 to 2012, which before he came to Hawaii, he was not coaching. And so it's like he did coach Utah. That's his highest experience before, but that was just, I don't know why he hired him. I don't know what was up with that. But now he has Aaron Price from UTEP, who I think he got fired just because his dad was the coach and got fired as well. But also UTEP never really, they were kind of wacky on offense. They would score points or do nothing. Didn't they almost beat, there's some game they played somebody a couple years ago, I forget who it was, but they were always hanging with Texas Tech or something. When they were pretty good, they'd like hang with everybody but lose by one or two. Oh, Houston. That's what it was.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
52 to 50, something with Houston when they had Case Keenum really good. And I think, I believe Price is there, but the best year I think he ever had was like a mid-50th, like about the 50th percentile. He was nothing special, and UTEP has never been really that good. And so that's what they bring in, but at least it's a real offensive coordinator, I guess, compared to Tommy Lee.
Yeah, no, exactly.
And they also brought in Jordan Wynn, who was at University of Utah, had to end his career because of shoulder injuries, and he's now their quarterbacks coach, which Norm Chow finally figured out, I can't do it all. I can't be head coach. Because you're head coach, you got to organize the bus schedule, what time you're going to eat food during fall camp, when are you going to eat the hotels, all that. All the non-coaching stuff, the head coach has to do a lot of it. And so he brings in Jordan Wynn, who was pretty good at Utah, not great. Outside of his first year, I think he did pretty good at the, when he beat Cal in that bowl game, like his freshman year. He went like 5-0 or something his freshman year, pretty good for Utah. But he knows what he's doing. He's just injuries got the best of him. And he's an addition that could be okay, but they're still going to struggle. We know they're not going to be very good this year. They're going to battle with, if it's not them at the bottom, who would you put down there?
Default
Vegas?
Yeah, might as well.
Maybe CSU, but I don't think they're going to take it that big maybe a step back.
Maybe
Wyoming if stuff goes really bad.
Exactly. I can only see one team that will just dwell at the bottom with Hawaii, and I'm thinking that's going to be UNLV, even though I still think that UNLV is going to, take a giant step forward this year. And, because this is, like I said, this is Houck's essentially last season.
Yeah.
Unless he turns something around. But just, I don't see anybody who's going to be even close. And, we're going to get to this eventually in the podcast. But Hawaii's schedule is not, it's not benefiting them in any way whatsoever.
No, it's not. Well, let's just say the first half is more difficult than the second half, and the first half breaks, so you're done for the second half.
Yeah, exactly.
Wait, who they have coming back? They actually have bring back 17 starters, so that's an extreme positive.
Yeah, so let's go ahead and go deep into, what they have. And I'm going to go ahead I'm going to go ahead and start with the quarterback.
Perfect, because that's an interesting scenario position. I don't think there's been I'll double check right now, but I don't think there's a named starter at the moment.
There isn't a named starter, but there is a almost for sure starter. So last year they had Sean Schroeder, who was transferred from Oregon State?
Duke.
And it was okay. His completion rate was 50.9, but he had a horrible touchdown to interception ratio. 11 touchdowns, 12 interceptions.
I think hurt. Didn't he have a back issue during the
year? Yeah, the back issue. Jeremy Higgins took over. Yeah. He had 35 sacks. He's,
come on, line. Offensive line, step up. Do something.
Exactly. So he had nothing to work with. So then, you know, after this horrible season of Norm Chow's first year, and after really, I mean, like I said, his completion percentage was decent, but the touchdown interception ratio was, you know, nothing to write home about. Definitely nothing to write home about. And then they were handed a Christmas present. They were given Tyler Graham, who was a transfer from Ohio State, who will be a junior this year, four-star.
Is he eligible to play?
Four stars ranked on Rivals.
I thought he transferred last year or this offseason?
Did he transfer last year or this offseason? He may have transferred last year.
I remember writing something about it. I'm going to pull it up right now. That's right. I do recall writing about that. I'm assuming he's more of a pocket guy because Urban Meyer, I think he transferred when Urban Meyer came to town just because the Herb likes to run his spread attack. Let's see here. This is awesome preparation. Hold on. I know he has something here. I'm looking to see when he transferred because I know he didn't play last year, so I'm pretty sure. Yep, here it is. Yeah, just, I wrote it on their website back on December 28th, 2011. So he will be eligible to play. Oh, great. Sorry about that. Auto website. Sorry about that. That was ridiculous. Stupid autoplay.
Okay, so while you're going on that autoplay, I'm just going to go ahead and give you guys. So, yeah, he transferred 2011.
He can play.
Definitely going to be starting this year. And it was interesting. He was written up a very good article by Scout.com by the Warrior Sports Network or whatever that is, where they were basically talking about he's going to be the starter, no question, even though they haven't announced anything, but who's going to back him up just in case he gets injured? And so,
is that not Schroeder for certain?
Yeah, it's not Schroeder for certain.
Well, they have Kamen, what's his name? Kamen Schroeder as well, possibly.
Yeah.
Well, no, that's not him. Hold on. Why is he showed up on the stat sheet when he played hardly the passes? I don't know. Is it – who is the person I should have been listening to before. Who came in, you said, for injury when Schroeder is out? Who was that backup?
Jeremy Higgins.
Oh, Higgins. Okay, that's right. Okay. Oh, he's not back anymore, is he? I don't believe.
He was a junior last – or he was a sophomore last year, so he'll be a junior this year.
Okay, maybe I'm looking at the wrong stat year. Whatever, but –
If it's not Higgins, if it's not Schroeder, you've also got the redshirt freshman who's looks to be a local town product. He's Ikeka Woolsey.
Say that again.
Thanks. I'm just saying. Ikeka Woolsey.
Okay, but the main thing is Taylor Graham. If he does well, this is a good quarterback. Norm Tell has something to work with. And they also have Billy Ray Stutzman.
Billy Ray Stutzman.
Does it sound excellent. Like the movie Trading Spaces. Billy Ray. Looking good, Billy Ray.
Sorry, I'm...
That's like my favorite movie ever.
I was mistaken. Ikeka is not from Hawaii. He's from Rodeo, California.
He probably came from either Hawaii or the Polynesian area at one point. Or him or his family.
But anyway, yes. So Taylor Graham, most likely the quarterback. And four stars, so if he has somebody to throw to, we could actually see offensive production from Hawaii.
Which he does. Billy Ray, Stutzman, and also Scott Harding, another returning. So they're going to have some receivers. Even though their offensive line was not very good, they bring back four of their five offensive linemen starters. They do those Blake Muir, who was pretty good last season. If they can limit that sack, 35 sacks, that's what, almost three a game? And that's only Schroeder. He didn't even play the whole season.
Yeah, that's nearly three a game, and once again, you're absolutely right. That wasn't even him the whole season. So if you took all the sacks combined, that because Higgins had five sacks as well, so that's 40 sacks. That's over three sacks a game.
That's getting to David Carr territory at the Texans when he first got drafted.
I mean, exactly.
One. But yeah, they got him, and then they have a running game should be better as well. Isn't it Gregory Hill, if I'm correct on that, who's back at running back?
Will Gregory,
that's what it is. He's not listed as a top returner, but he should be. Not that he did anything special, but the one thing, the reason they're so...
Well, you know what? He might have graduated by this time, because he's not listed on 2013 year.
Whoops. Okay, maybe. My mistake on that. I thought he was back for one more season.
I think your starting running back is either going to be Joy Iosefa. Which would be choice because he's a junior.
He was a freshman last year.
Who?
Will Gregory.
Really? Because, like I said, I'm looking at Connolly's preview.
Bill, what did Bill get wrong this time? Sorry, you don't get everything right on 125 teams you're writing about. We'll say you're terrible. Not. No, I'm just saying. He has something right here about. Oh, it does. Why is ESPN wrong? Hold on. I'm going to figure this out. Because I went to ESPN, just typed his name for stats. It said freshman Will Gregory. Let's go to the.
No, and I just saw that in Hawaii Athletics. So, unless something happened where he transferred out.
But Bill said graduate. Let's look, see here. This is interesting. Hold on. I know this is great podcasting talk. No, I don't know what he is.
Well, okay, so while you're looking that up, outside of while the debate rolls on whether Will Gregory will be playing this year or not.
debate or us be not knowing.
The other running backs, which will probably be used, Joey Iosefa. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of like this 3-star redshirt freshman, Stephen Lakalaka.
Okay.
And like I said, he was redshirting last year, so he might get some of the carries this year.
He's back. There's nothing to indicate transfer or gone, so I guess just chalk it up to Bill not knowing every tiny detail of 125 FBS schools. But I think we'll give him a pass on that.
We'll get this time around.
But yeah, they have some decent running game. They have a better offensive line. Well, supposedly.
Well, because, we hope that they're going to have a better offensive line. Well, here's
the thing. Last year, what I was getting at before we got into the running back area position, they had 32 players make their first start last season. That's the most there. 32 different players had their first ever start. That's FBS start. That's obviously more than your 22 starters, which means they rotated guys in or out because of injury or ineffectiveness, whatever it would be. The hope is that while you have more experience, you should get better, but it's not like it's good experience. You were a bad team last year. Should get better, but how big is the jump going to be? Because you're still bad last year, same players. They're not going to just out of nowhere jump up to be this amazing team, I don't think. However, having experience back on the team is always a good thing. Regardless if it's good or bad, you should get better. Everybody's getting the second year. You got Norm Chow, second year head coach, finally. Well, not finally, but figuring stuff out because it's big change from year one to year two. But the main, that's as a key thing last year why they're so bad. So they're going to be more experienced. But again, you weren't very good last year, guys.
Yeah. I mean, and then, along with that, the offensive line struggled. And then I'm going to go ahead and give you some statistics while we're moving on to the defense. But if you look at this team who was 3-9 last year, the biggest thing that stands out to me was how much they scored against the bad teams that they were playing that they beat. So they beat Lamar 54-2. They beat UNLV 48-10. They beat South Alabama 23-7. And then they lost to USC 49-10. They lost to Nevada 69-24. BYU gave up 47, gave up 52 to San Diego State, gave up 35 to New Mexico, gave up 42 to Colorado State.
And these are the Colorado State's not an offensive juggernaut by any means.
Yeah, no, exactly. And not only that, they only scored 27 points in that game. So still 15-point loss. So, I mean, they were so – last year it was almost schizophrenic of how bad / how good their offense was against the competition they were playing. But you can't just blame that all on offense. You have to be,
You got to stop somebody.
Yeah, you got to stop somebody. And so, last year they actually did pretty well in terms of the defense. They actually did pretty well on the pass breakups.
Well, because of Mike Edwards got draft picked up in the NFL.
Yeah.
And he was a return second team All Mountain West, and he think it was, if I'm correct here, special teams player of the year last season.
Right. And you also to compliment Mike Edwards, you had Pai Pai Falamalu, who also did his share of tackles for losses and pass breakups.
Yeah, the D line
and sacks.
And then they also lose Haku Kora as well. They lose two defensive linemen. Basically, defense Edwards, Falamalu, and then Correa. So that's their main guys there. But it's hard to tell. They got new offensive coordinator, but Norm Chow is probably running the show. It's more like telling Aaron Price, here's what we're going to do. You can implement it and do a few of your own things as well that you've been doing that have been successful at UTEP and every other place you've been at. But let's kind of get to the schedule now. I believe if I were done, I think we're ready for that here. Yeah. Let's just move on the schedule. We don't need to discuss Hawaii for an inordinate amount of time, but schedule, their first game, they open up at home on CBS Sports Network against the ever-so-mighty USC Trojans.
So that's not going to end well.
Well, they're already apparently a 20-point underdog just about, which, I don't know. What do you feel? We already kind of discussed that.
That's a fair. I mean, unless Taylor Graham. Unless Taylor Graham like has a breakout game versus USC, which he might, and that's the thing is he's old enough. He's sat a year out. You know, he's a junior this year. He actually might step in just brilliantly and just start lighting up USC's defense. But unless Hawaii gets their offense kick started, 20-point underdogs sounds about right at home, even at home.
Yeah, thing is, remember last year, like USC went out to like 21-0, like right off the bat, gave it to, I think there's like quick touchdown to Marquise Lee, and I think wasn't there a pick six, I believe, early on as well in that game.
Yeah,
the thing is, Graham, he won't be intimidated because he's practicing at Ohio State. He's familiar with, at least in practice wise, of like what he's going up against. But USC, as I mentioned a couple times, they are going to be starting either a true freshman or redshirt quarterback. Their defensive back could be filled in with wide receivers at some point. Probably not in game one, assuming everybody's healthy through fall camp. But they're with the scholarship reduction kind of kicking in now. They've delayed it as long as they could. I think this was the first year of doing that. And last year they were thin at some places. But even their backups are going to be better than most of Hawaii starters, or at least on par with that talent level at worst, I believe. And so thing is, it's a far trip from going to Hawaii. It's far, but if you're from USC, it's no different than really if you're an East Coast team going to the West Coast.
Yeah, I was about to say, going from the East Coast to the West Coast.
And it's about pretty similar. East Carolina going to play UCLA or Oregon State or something like that. Cross country flight almost.
Rutgers going to play Fresno State.
Aha, yeah. Good example. There you go. They're not going to win that game. I hope to keep it close, but it'll be interesting, though, because you got Norm Child going up against Lane Kiffin, who basically took his job at USC.
And forced him out. This is the weekly reminder that we mentioned that Lane Kiffin is a douchebag. Deservedly so.
So they're not going to win that game. We're not going to go game by game, but their first half schedule is tough because up next they have Oregon State at Oregon State.
And then at Nevada.
Yeah, a bye week at Nevada, host Fresno. Host San Jose State. So those first five games, they could be 0-5.
Yeah.
And probably will be 0-5. Because Oregon State's gotten better. They after that one lull year, they're pretty good this past year. For the most part, they moved up. And let me pull up the record here. I don't know exactly what they did, but I remember watching them against BYU when BYU had a great defense, and they played pretty well in that game. But I'm trying to – do you recall what bowl game they went to last year?
Nevada?
No, Oregon State.
Oregon State, Sun Bowl.
No, USC did.
Did they go to the Sun Bowl?
Remember, USC didn't want to be there, and they lost to Georgia Tech.
That's right.
They, geez.
Craft Fight Hunger. No.
No, that was UCLA, Illinois. Two teams are like 6-6.
Exactly. No, that was.
Come on. If my computer would be any slower. You're breaking it. They played Texas in the Alamo Bowl.
The Insight Bowl.
No, they played
Texas. The Insight Bowl.
No, I have it in front of me now. They lost to Texas in the Alamo Bowl.
Okay,
that took way too long to get to that. But they're going to be a good team. They lost to Stanford last year, lost to Oregon, played Stanford close. The only game they probably shouldn't have lost to is maybe Washington. That's outside of that, they obviously good year, 9-4. I don't think they lost much. And plus, Mike Riley is a heck of a coach up there. He knows what he's doing. They have a couple of quarterbacks from last year. I think they're both competing again. But whoever they have, they're not going to beat Oregon State. Nevada, a road game, but I don't think that's going to matter.
Here's will be the determinant of how successful Hawaii can be. If they can beat Nevada, or any of these teams, if they can go 1-4 the first half of the season, this is going to be a good step forward. And I think the most likely team that they will probably beat will be Nevada. Now, the only other team I can possibly see is San Jose State at home. And normally when you see San Jose State play Hawaii, it turns into an extremely wild game, if you recall last year.
I do not. What happened last year?
It was absolutely ridiculous. Like, the, like four interceptions in the fourth quarter.
San Jose State?
I got it. Yeah, it was the San Jose State Hawaii game. Now I've got to bring it up.
They didn't play last year.
Sorry, 2 years ago.
Yeah, okay. That's...
Yeah, 2011. Yeah, okay. So this was... So the final score was 28-27, San Jose State won. But, I mean, like...
It's a different team, though. They have David Fales, Noel Griffey.
No, you're right, yeah.
Great, wasn't a great playing. Center on the line.
But, I mean, just... I'm just saying you're expecting some crazy stuff to happen in the game.
Depend. Well, yeah, but I don't think they have a chance to beat San Jose State. I don't see any reason to give them that benefit that they could beat. The only thing I could possibly see, well, they play a Friday night game. And actually, no, they have an extra day off because they play a Friday night game at home before they go to Hawaii. They do play a solid Utah State team. I'm calling around. They're going to go 0-5. I don't think they can beat Nevada either. Nevada's offense is so much better than what Hawaii could bring to the table on defensively.
No, I agree with you, but I said the determinant of a good season for Hawaii is if they beat Nevada. If they start the season 1-4.
True, because when they get to UNLV, that'll probably be a nuts game because every time they play, it's just crazy. It's even more crazy than the San Jose State game a couple years ago. They'll play overtime. They'll get in the 30 to 40, maybe 50-point range perhaps. Not necessarily because it's good offense, but either defense bad and everybody's making plays. Because you're right. If they can go 1-4 somehow, here's the rest of the schedule really quick. They go on the road to UNLV. Then they're off. Then they host Colorado State, which they could win. Utah State, they'll probably lose. Navy, they'll probably... Well, no, it's not even much easier.
Maybe they can possibly win.
At Navy...
Never mind.
At least it's not a noon Eastern kick. When they played Florida a couple years ago, it was a noon Eastern kick. That was the year after the Sugar Bowl, and they lost everybody. That's 6 a.m. local Hawaii time. This game is more reasonable, 9:30 a.m. But I can almost guarantee it. Here's what they're going to do, though, because they've done this before. They play at Utah State in Logan, Utah. They're not going to fly back home to Hawaii. They'll probably stay in Utah, do their classes at Utah State for a couple days, then head out to Navy later in the week, like they normally do. Because they've done that before, and they have back-to-back games in the mainland, especially, in this case, cross-country. It's not like they're playing UNLV and then San Diego State or Fresno. They'd go home and come back to that. But with this being cross-the-country, there's no point in flying to Utah. And that's not even an easy trip, too. You fly to Salt Lake, then drive for almost 2 hours. And so that's even worse. So I'm pretty sure they'll stay in the mainland. But regardless, at Navy... Navy's taking a step back, but they'll probably still win, or they could win. And they head all the way back home to San Diego State, not going to win. They could beat Wyoming on the road, maybe, and then Army at home. So out of that last six, they have one winnable game, UNLV, Colorado State.
With Wyoming, though, we get to see a renewal of the Paniolo Trophy.
Ah, nice.
Remember, this is a rivalry game.
True, but they have four winnable games into the season. So, if they can win one of those games, I guess 5-7, that's a step up. But I don't think they're going to beat any of those first five games.
No. So, okay. So then now that's being said, we talked about this in the mailbag on Friday when we did that. Right now, Hawaii is listed as the over-under is 3.5. So now taking a serious look at Hawaii's schedule... Is this still over or under? Remember, I said under last week.
I put it as my lock as the under. Out of my most confidence, and I wrote a post about today kind of just so people can visualize instead of hearing us jabbing around, going through the list of all the teams of 125. But basically, my under Hawaii over San Diego State at 7.5. Because if you look at Hawaii's schedule, if they have any if there's any locks on the schedule, there's not. Let's put it that way. There's not a game where I'm saying 100% confidence they will win. The closest thing that comes to that is hosting Colorado State.
I was about to say, yeah, that's got to be the
closest. After a bye week and maybe Army, maybe. That's it. Those are the only two games. I'm confident they can get a win. Well, not more confident. I could see you. But games were toss-up games where, who knows, like CSU or Army, I could see them winning. I wouldn't be surprised. The toss-up games were what I already mentioned. UNLV and Wyoming. And I'd put Navy next closest, but I don't think they'd be able to beat Navy just because of good team, the triple option, all that good stuff. So if we're going to put a prediction on what – if we're going to go like – because this is our prediction show or preview for Hawaii – I'm going to start with you. What do you think their record will be at the end of the year?
I'll give it 3-9.
Who are the wins?
Who are the wins?
Yes. Who are they going to be scoreboard points then?
Colorado State, Army, and I don't know. I kind of like the Wyoming thing. I think there's a little bit of a rivalry there. And remember, I'm not too high on Wyoming this year. I kind of like that just
But it's on wild. Here's the thing. On the road. Remember, 72-20. Going from zero, possibly negative.
They can train. They got mountains in Hawaii.
Oh, good. 500 feet above sea level?
No. We're talking like a few thousand.
I know. I'm just joking. I'm just saying. We're not going to train like that, but I'm just on a couple days. That's stuff to get used to. If I'm going to go on, what would you say? Okay, I'll go with mine real quick. If I'm going to go record, I'm going to go 2-10, where Army and CSU.
Okay, so we got two of the wins. We got two of the wins, basically the same.
What would you? Okay, then I'll start with this for myself. Best case scenario. What's going to do worst case, or what were you thinking? Best case scenario. I don't think they'll go 0-12, so I don't think that's on the table. I wouldn't be well. Let's rephrase that. They could. I wouldn't be overly surprised if they did, but it's so hard to lose every game. They're going to at least knock somebody off. Because who knows, Army is like, oh, vacation, we're in Hawaii in November or whatever. But if we go best case scenario, it's still four wins at best.
And that's what I'd say. I think it's four wins at best.
The only thing that could change my mind early on is if Taylor Graham is just out of this world and lives up to the hype. And the reason he left Ohio State was because he wanted the more passing attack, which he wouldn't get. And with Braxton Miller there, he saw the writing. I mean, he's not going to play in that offense, what Urban Meyer brings to the table, the running attack. Yeah, be not necessarily running, but at least a mobile quarterback. Because Alex Smith, when he's at Utah, wasn't necessarily fast, but he's mobile and agile enough to make it work. And Graham is just a pocket passer guy. So I'd say four wins at best, probably 2-10. But I'd want to see how Graham plays in that USC game. I don't think it'll change too much for our minds. Maybe a win or two if he does really good and keeps it close. But I'm gonna go 2-10. That's what I'm putting them online. What would you say is your best case also four wins?
Best case is also four wins. Okay. Now who's that fourth win come to? Who's that third and fourth win come to for you?
For me, I clicked on the wrong schedule. I would say I already said CSU Army. Oh man. UNLV.
Okay.
He's a fourth win, man. I guess I got to go Wyoming because they have talent there. Robert Heron, Brett Smith. They have a couple wide receivers. They have some good players. They have some pretty good players. Running game's a mess. They need to work on a few things. I'm just hesitant because it's 7,000 feet, a mile and a half, mile and a quarter above sea level. And so if there's a fourth win, I'd go Wyoming. But even then, I'm still wishy-washy on it, but that's the fourth wins. UNLV, Colorado State, Wyoming, and Army.
Yeah, and that's exactly where my fourth win would also go, would be UNLV.
Okay, one last thing before we go. If there's a surprise game where they could win, outside of those four, who do you think they could possibly shock? Are you just going to go with Nevada?
I was going to go with Nevada. I was going to go with Nevada at Nevada.
Okay. Let me.
I mean, unless USC is really that bad, which they're not, despite all our best hopes.
I was going to say Utah State, but they have a bye bowl, so that's not going to be the case. I guess Nevada makes the most sense because that could be one of those games where they score a lot of points because Nevada's defense is terrible. I guess we're agreed on everything, which makes for a boring show, but if I'm not going to say Nevada, I guess I could see Navy, perhaps, if they turn the ball over and if they put the ball on the turf a lot, which is possible on offense. So I guess I could see Navy being a possible upset win for the Rainbow Warriors.
I really want to say USC, but it's,
you want to say USC for everybody. Utah State going to be USC.
I want to say USC for it won't happen. But Nevada seems to be the most likely to be though.
All right, so that's. I think we've gone long enough for all the folks listening out there for the show. So basically, Hawaii, 12th place, I guess we're saying, right, in the Mountain West. Okay, if we
12th place, 6th place in the Mountain West.
Mountain West.
Mountain West. is that like South by Southeast?
It's the Mountain West. The what?
See? You see? It's the West Division of the Mountain West, so therefore it is the Mountain West West.
Yeah, I was thinking about their best way to say it. But yeah, what we're saying, they're going to go 1-7 in league play, most likely 2-10 overall. And then maybe next year they'll step it up with a lot of guys returning again, but... Yeah, that's where we got Hawaii. So it's basically, thanks everybody for hanging out, listening to us ramble on about the Warriors tonight. And once again,
attempting to ramble on about the Warriors.
I think we did outside of a few hiccups of the Will Gregory situation, I think we're doing okay. But basically, check us out, SoundCloud, which I think is the coolest thing because you can best for if you use it on mobile, iPad, tablet, computer, it works the best. You don't have to worry about seeing stupid code and reading it or listening. Stitcher Radio is probably my second favorite. And then if you're iTunes, that's so old, but you can listen to iTunes still, I guess, if people have an iPod. Do you have an iPod?
I do not have iTunes. I do not have an iPod. I am actually listening through Stitcher and SoundCloud.
My favorite, I have an iPod, but I haven't used it in years. It's just sitting in my kid's room to play music at night, partly because the headphone jack's broken. And I have all my music on my Android, or my Amazon. But the coolest thing, I use Stitcher a lot. I use SoundCloud a little bit, but it's not as easy to. If you're subscribing to podcasts, it's not the best thing. But on SoundCloud, not this advertisement for them, we'll put other stuff on SoundCloud too. Like there's my stuff about the NBA draft, some stuff on SoundCloud I grabbed, but... Stitcher, SoundCloud, iTunes, or just go to mwcconnection.com and find it all in the podcast section.
Yeah,
there you go. I don't know why I'm talking about stuff, but I've got to let everybody know.
I was about to say, were you expecting me to do something there?
No, I'm just giving people to know how to listen, because there could be a lot of first-time listeners. Because I see in the traffic on the website, there's about 60 or 80% first-time visitors every day. So hang around.
So for those of you, okay, so then let me go ahead and leave this message. For those of you who are first time listening, we apologize for our randomness, but that's just what we do, so you're going to have to deal with it.
Hey, it's great. So, yeah, just this is the Hawaii Show, and just keep listening and check out mwcconnection.com all the time.